Well, while Eagles fans everywhere are still excited about Sunday's win over Washington, the Eagles have already turned the page, getting ready for San Francisco on Sunday. I'm Dave Spadaro, and we welcome you into the studio, our exclusive one-on-one interview with head coach Chip Kelly. And, Coach, I know the Niners 1-2, but that's a really good football team, isn't it?
Very good football team. You know, obviously they've been, you know, since Coach Harbaugh's gotten there, perennial playoff team, got to the Super Bowl, talented all over the spots. You know, they've got Patrick Willis, one of the best linebackers in the league, outstanding defensive line with Justin Smith, you know, one of the top dual threat quarterbacks in this league, and Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, who's a tremendous running back, outstanding offensive line. It's a very good football team.
What does a dual threat quarterback, what kind of challenges does that present for a defense?
Well, I think what you're facing in Colin, as opposed to maybe some of the other quarterbacks we faced earlier in the year, is that they have designed quarterback runs for him. You know, so you really, it's a different facet. It's not just they're handing it off to the running back and then throwing drop back passes or play action passes. Is that there's they have a diverse offense in terms of how they get the ball to their running back and some of the run schemes that they run, but they also will run some zone read with Kaepernick, and he's proven, you know, that he can take it the distance from anywhere on the field. He's a, you know, 4.5 or below guy in terms of his 40-yard dash time. He's also big, so he's tough to get off his feet. So it's really a different element than we faced in terms of the first three games of the season.
Their defense, everybody, kind of fans and media focus on no Alden Smith and no Navarro Bowman, yet they've played very, very well. What have they done on defense?
Yeah, well, they still have other really, really good players. They still have Justin Smith, Ian Williams, and Ray McDonald up front. They still have Patrick Willis inside. They still have Ahmad Brooks as an outside linebacker. So it's a formidable front. You know, and that's always been the strength, is their front seven, and that still really is a strength, even though they lost two Pro Bowl players so far.
I've always been impressed with Anquan Boldin, and he's bounced around a little bit in the NFL. Why is he still such a productive wide receiver?
I think he just, you know, the passion that he plays the game with. He's obviously a big physical football player. He's been around for a long time. He's got a great understanding of just the NFL game, you know, whether he's playing with the Ravens or whether he was playing with the Cardinals or whether he's now playing with the 49ers. He's a special player, and he's tough. He's physical. He's really a matchup nightmare in terms of if you got a nickel on him, he may be not big enough. If obviously you put a linebacker on him, he's not going to be fast enough. So their group of wide receivers do present a challenge to us.
So I want to transition from their wide receivers to the Eagles' wide receivers. And Jordan Matthews had two touchdowns on Sunday. And, you know, he's never all the hype in the preseason, never got caught up in that, never got caught up in anything said about him the first two games. It seems like he's really a very focused, beyond his years kind of player. How's that helped him out?
He is, you know, and I think he's, if you just study him, and one of the things that really attracted us to him in terms of, he has a skill set that obviously translates to playing here, but I think really it's his mindset that kind of sets him apart from other people. He's a, you know, a young man that wasn't highly recruited coming out of high school. I think Vanderbilt was his only Division I offer. He went there, but yet he left there as the all-time leading receiver in SEC history. He also graduated college in 3.5 years. You know, so I think he's very focused and determined on what he wants to do and what he wants to get accomplished. And everything about him is focused on chasing greatness and being successful on a daily basis, and really doesn't get caught up just because it doesn't really mean anything to him whether there's people saying positive things about him or negative things about him. That's really, it's got nothing to do with him being successful. So he's just going to concentrate on what makes him successful.
Do you have an opportunity in the pre-draft period to get enough information to kind of expect that kind of demeanor from him?
You hope so. You know, and I went to his pro day. I got a chance to visit with him down there in Nashville when he was at Vanderbilt, and, you know, really talked to the people on campus that were around him all the time, and just, you know, is this kid legitimately as legit as he's advertised to be, or is, you know, there are some flaws in it, and we haven't seen any, didn't discover any when we were down there. I think, you know, he's a real deal.
Jeremy Maclin back in the lineup this year after missing 2013. I wonder if people out there forgot about just how good Jeremy is. He's been sensational, 18.5 yards a catch. He looks like he's open all three games. What's his presence meant for the offense?
It's been huge, you know, and I think one of the things we knew going in was that we had Jeremy coming back. So, you know, that was a positive for us. We felt really good about our outside receivers with Mack and Coop, and you know, I think people did forget about him, you know, but we had seen him the spring before. We came in April of 2013, so we went through the off-season program, the OTAs, and the mini camp, and got a chance to see Jeremy firsthand. Unfortunately, he got hurt in July in the beginning of preseason camp, and then people kind of forgot about him. So our first season, we didn't get a chance to play games with him or go through training camp with him, but we had him in the off-season program. And then, you know, the thing about Jeremy that really just struck me is that every day We were going out to the field last season to get ready and train for whoever our opponent was in our first season here. He was here every day rehabbing. You know, he got operated on early in, I think, late in August, and then was here every day from a rehab standpoint, and just really pushing himself. And I'd be in the training room checking in with Chris Peduzzi about, you know, what's going on that week with our injured players, and you'd see him in there rehabbing. You know, you kind of knew that he just needed an opportunity and a shot, and we were real fortunate to get him signed back last year. And that was a big thing for us in the offseason. Let's get Mac back here, because really excited about how we fit in and what we do offensively. And I think the performance he had against the Redskins, he did the same thing in the first two games. There was a lot of times he was open early in both games. It was just play call wise, maybe he wasn't the first read, we didn't get to him in time, maybe protection broke down or something like that. But in all three games he's been open, but this time Nick found him. And, you know, to have an 8-catch game like he did, you know, 100 and whatever plus yards he had, touchdown, I think is what we've kind of expected, because we've been around him for a while now.
In the preseason, I remember he went down the one game and, you know, everybody's kind of hush. Do you think going through that preseason got, you know, allowed him to work through all that, maybe those moments of indecision or lack of confidence, just to test everything?
I don't think there was any indecision or lack of confidence. I think it was just he had to go back and get hit again. He had to go back and just kind of go through what it was like to be a football player, because he's a full year removed from playing and missed an entire season of playing. So, you know, really the last time he got tackled was in 2012. Now we're in 2014. And, you know, there's got to be maybe in the back of your mind, how am I going to hold up? But after the, you know, it's one of those, he got hit a couple times, get up off the ground and go, I'm okay. And so he's really never looked back since. So he looks like the guy I saw on tape when we first came in here, and then the guy we had an opportunity to coach in those OTAs and minicamps in 2013.
In 2012, Eagles fans remember this, the offensive line really suffered some injuries, offense really bogged down, struggled. This year, a lot of injuries early, offense continues to score a lot of points, move the football. Coach Stoutland and those guys really deserve a lot of credit. What is happening up front to make this thing continue to work?
Well, we felt like going in, we had good depth in the offensive line. Obviously, our depth has been tested. But I think if you watched us through preseason camp and in the preseason games, our second offensive line did a really nice job when they were in there. I think how we train, how many reps we get in practice really puts those guys in situations where, you know, they're getting a lot of reps, so that when they get in a game, they can execute what we need them to execute. So obviously you don't want your depth to get tested, but when it did get tested, you know, we've had guys that we felt confident because they've been in preseason games. Now there's a little bit of a difference, but they've been on the field and they've demonstrated it to us. So I think, you know, through our first two games, losing in the Jaguar game, losing two guys in the first two games, and then, you know, you only dress seven linemen and two guys coming up. You know, they both, you know, Andrew and David did a good job in that. Then you bounce back and all of a sudden we lose Kels, and now we got to bring Moak back in, and he's done a really good job for us. And then Jason Peters goes out at the end of the Redskins game, and now all of a sudden we're shuffling the lineup. And, you know, you look out there and the only guy left from the group that started every game last year was Todd Herrmann, and he's not playing the same position he played. So, you know, it's a credit to Jeff Stoutland and what he's doing with the offensive line, but also to those guys in terms of how in tune they are. And we tell everybody, it's not a cliche, that you have to prepare like you're a starter, because when your opportunity comes, you can't say, oh, geez, I wasn't ready for this. And I think they have done that. So
along those lines, I mean, there's certainly a theme. Everybody matters on this roster. And there were a couple of catches made by people that nobody talks about. Jeff Mayle had a really nice catch. James Casey had a really nice catch. When players see everyone chipping in, how much does that foster that feeling of trust in the locker room?
Well, I think everybody understands that at certain times when you have an opportunity to get called upon, you know, it's time to step up. And I think that's the type of team we have. You know, I thought it was kind of fitting. James Casey, who's just one of our four core special teams guys and kind of an unsung hero for us and everything that he does for us, you know, had the first catch of the game and the last catch of the game. You know, and two criticals, got our drive started to start the game against Washington, and then we finished it off with a, you know, a big catch where he came back and did a good job running his route and adjusting off of how the DB was covering him, you know, to kind of seal it. We needed to get a first down in that situation, and then, you know, that's just kind of how this team is built and how it's wired, is that everybody has to contribute. When you get an opportunity to go, we expect you to step up, because you've demonstrated it to us when we've seen you out there in the training, in our training sessions, or we've seen it from you in preseason games. So everybody's that's active on game day is going to play, and when you get a chance to shine, then it's just, you let yourself, you know, don't worry about making mistakes, because we're not afraid of that. We always operate from a desire to excel, not a fear of failure.
2 weeks in a row here, the defense has been on the field late, big stops late. down the line here, big picture, into December, does it pay a big price to, for the defense to come together like that at the end of the game?
You hope so. I mean, I think obviously everything you do is you're gaining experience, and I think some of your, as you go down the road, you can kind of look back to where you were. But our defense has come up. They played. I thought they played, besides really just the opening quarter against the Jaguars, they played outstanding in that game. You know, in game two was a huge challenge, a Monday night game against Andrew Luck, and I thought they came up huge in the fourth quarter in that football game. You know, they held Andrew Luck overall to 170 yards passing. But the Colts ran the ball a little bit more. This game was a little bit different, I thought, against one of the top running backs in the league, against Alfred Morris. You held them to 3-yard average. They were averaging over 5 yards a carry coming in. So we did a good job in the run game. We needed to do a better job in the passing game, but specifically in the fourth quarter, they were huge. They came up with a huge interception, you know, to give us a chance to go kick a field goal to put us up two scores. And then they go out on the field where, you know, after a special team situation, the ball's on the 41-yard line. They have to go 6 yards to put themselves in the field goal range to tie it. In four plays, they gained 0 yards. You know, our group went out there when they had to be at their best. They were at their best.
The Eagles, just they don't back down from anything. The desire, the effort, when you see it for 60 minutes, what's that mean to you?
It just means that we got a bunch of guys that have a shared vision of what this thing's supposed to look like and how we're supposed to prepare during the week, and then how we prepare during the week puts us in a situation where we have confidence on Sundays, and that's what I see us doing right now. I see us playing as a confident football team.
Chip Kelly, we thank you so much for joining us here in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.